My sister and I had just finished scouring the shelves at Best Buy, and our shopping bags were brimming with discounted treasures. The sun hung low on the horizon, casting elongated shadows across the sprawling parking lot. It was an ordinary evening, much like any other. A sprawling shopping plaza surrounded us, inhabited by retail giants like PetSmart and Best Buy, their facades looming like corporate titans. With our thoughts focused on our purchases, we ventured out into the world beyond the store's comforting aisles. But as we crossed the dimly lit road in front of the parking lot, a chill ran down my spine, and I realized I couldn't quite recall where we had parked. A gnawing sense of unease set in as I began scanning the rows of cars, desperately trying to locate my vehicle. The parking lot was a gleaming metal and concrete maze, and my car seemed to have vanished into the labyrinth. Then, as if by some sinister twist of fate, I spotted it. Relief washed over me, and I turned towards my sister to share the good news. But my words were strangled in my throat as we approached the unsettling scene that awaited us. There, parked nearby, was a nondescript white minivan, its engine humming ominously. The passenger door cracked open slightly, inviting us to peer in to its shadowy interior. At first, I dismissed it as a typical family, merely tending to the needs of their children before embarking on their journey. But as we drew closer, a cold shiver of dread coursed through my veins. Inside the minivan sat two men. Their features were obscured by the dim light, but the sense of danger was palpable. Panic gripped my heart as we walked past the passenger side, leaving us no choice but to move forward. The seconds ticked by like a cruel countdown. Then, with a malevolent slowness, the passenger door creaked open further, revealing a bald-headed man. His eyes bore into us, and his lips parted in a chilling greeting. "Hello." Fear clamped down on my chest. Without a second thought, I yanked my sister's arm, adrenaline surging through my veins. My car, our sanctuary, was only a few steps away. I fumbled for my keys, clutching them like a makeshift weapon, and we sprinted towards the vehicle. The minutes that followed felt like an eternity as we flung ourselves into the car and locked the doors with trembling hands. Our breaths came in ragged gasps, our hearts hammering in our chest. The man's voice still echoed in our minds, a sinister refrain. As if rehearsed in a twisted performance, the two men emerged from the minivan. They stalked the parking lot, their predatory eyes scanning the vicinity, hunting for us. My sister and I huddled in the car, hidden in the shadows, terror coursing through us. The realization struck like a thunderbolt. This was no random encounter. Human trafficking was an all-too-common menace in our area, a silent terror lurking in the shadows. I shuddered to think of the horrors that might have befallen us had we not reached the safety of my car. We remained hidden, clutching our phones like lifelines, waiting for the sinister figures to disappear. Eventually, they gave up their search, returning to the minivan like phantoms vanishing into the night. Breathing a sigh of relief, we watched as they retreated, our car cocooning us in safety. Only then did we dare to start the engine and navigate our way out of the parking lot. The haunting encounter was etched into our memories, a chilling reminder of the darkness that could lurk beneath the facade of an ordinary evening. We drove home in silence, our hearts heavy with the knowledge that we had narrowly escaped a fate too horrifying to contemplate. My name is Riley. About 2 years ago, I was shopping at Best Buy. It was around 7:30, and I was shopping for a new gaming headset for my little brother since it was close to Christmas. While trying to find one, I noticed this guy in the aisle to my right. He was about 5'8", 150 pounds. He had glasses and parted hair. I saw him staring at me in the corner of my eye. I acted like I was pulling my phone out of my purse to check on it, giving me a chance to look up at him. As soon as I did, he turned away and acted like he was shopping for stuff. I found that very weird and walked to another aisle. I found the headphone section and discovered some Astro 810s. Those were a good pair, so I put them in my basket. After getting them, I turned around to go back to the line to buy them, but another guy was at the end of the aisle. He was about 6'1", 175 pounds. He had tan skin and short black hair. He also had a completely black outfit. I didn't really think of it as anything at the moment. When he saw me look at him, he looked up and started walking towards me. I didn't know what he wanted, so I just sat there. "Those headphones are pretty nice. Do you play games?" he spoke. I responded with, "No, I'm just getting my boyfriend something. He's waiting in the car for me right now." I said that so he could leave me alone. "Oh, that's cool. Do you mind if I get your number?" he asked. I was confused since I had told him I had a boyfriend. "No, I'm okay, but thank you," I said to him, and then I walked away. He had an agitated face while I looked in the corner of my eye. I hurried and went to the line to get out of the store. I went and set the box on the register. The two men I saw walked towards the line I was in, even though a separate one was not in use. They both were about 6 feet away from me. They had nothing besides a bottle of Pepsi. I didn't see why they didn't go to the other aisle, which caught me in the cashier's attention. "Hey, guys, the other aisle is open," my cashier said. "Oh, my bad," said the second guy. They both walked to the other cashier. I hurried and bagged the headphones and walked out of the store. It was very dark and snowy outside. The snow blew in my face, and I could barely see. I walked to my car. A Ford Explorer sat in a parking space with its headlights on. The windows were tinted entirely, so I couldn't see in. As I got close to my car, they reversed out of the parking spot and shined their headlights at me. I was startled by them. I heard muffled footsteps behind me. I turned around and saw the two guys from the store. I ran to my car to unlock it. When I got in, the second guy snatched me out of my car by my hair. He pulled my head back and put a knife to my neck. "Where's your boyfriend?" he asked. The man with the glasses snatched my purse and put it in the Ford Explorer. When he opened the door, I could see another guy in the driver's seat. The man started to guide me to their car. I resisted, but he pressed the knife deeper into my neck. "If you try that again, your neck is gonna be like a fucking Ziploc bag," he said. I got pushed into the snow, and the two men were gonna attempt to lift me into the SUV. I squirmed until they dropped me, and I punched and scratched them in the face. I then got punched and was dazed. In the distance, I could hear a faint yell.
"Hey, this is security. What the hell are you guys doing?"
yelled the security man from Best Buy. The man dropped me, got in the car, and drove off. A security guard drove to me in his patrol car. He brought me in and drove me back to the store. They called the police and told them everything. They took me to the hospital to check for any signs of a concussion. It turns out that one of the Best Buy employees called the security man whenever they noticed the bizarre behavior of the two men. I told them what the men looked like and the details about their car. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough. They unfortunately stole the gift from my little brother. A few months later, I was able to mend the sense of loss by saving up and surprising my brother with a heartfelt gift, reminding us both of the strength that had emerged from that terrifying ordeal. I am still very cautious when shopping at any store now, and I always keep a gun in my purse. I'm a female, and I was around 20 when this happened. I was in college and renting a house in a suburban area near my campus. There was a large tree in the front yard that obscured the house in privacy, which I liked. I had a roommate named Rose. We didn't get along at first, but after some casual chats, we grew quite close. Our neighbor was a grumpy-looking old man who spent most of his time on his front porch waving around a shotgun and feeding treats to his dog. He was a veteran who occasionally had friends over to loudly discuss events that took place in the Vietnam War. Rose thought he was creepy and would joke about him being a serial killer. I entertained her teasing, but in truth, I didn't think the man was creepy at all. In fact, I felt bad for him at times. Apart from the rare company, he was mostly isolated. One Friday, I woke up around 7 a.m. with no class to attend until Monday. The weather was nice, and I felt like going out, so I invited Rose to the mall. She agreed on the condition we shop at a new Best Buy first because they had some new opening deals. We got ready and left the house by 10 a.m. before arriving on foot at the Best Buy 30 minutes later. It was relatively quiet, just another Best Buy stocked to the brim, with electronics and nothing out of the ordinary. I trailed after Rose as she browsed around their deal section. There was nothing I was interested in at the store, and I was only tolerating the boring place because it was Rose's one condition to accompany me to the mall. While she wandered around a corner, I noticed a guy standing at the end of the main aisle, and he was staring at us while lurking behind boxes of kitchen appliances. When he caught me looking at him, he suddenly began reading something off the bare carbon box in front of him. I felt uneasy, but not necessarily alarmed. Perhaps he was just looking for someone down the hall. By the time Rose was done in Best Buy, we were both starving and made our way to the mall. As soon as we got there, we headed to the food court and grabbed quick meals. All the while, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. In hindsight, of course, I was being watched. The place was packed with people after all. We finished eating and had fun shopping around for the remainder of the day. We only began heading back home around 6 p.m. Walking in growing darkness, I started feeling a bit on edge. For some reason, my mind went back to that weird guy at Best Buy. I didn't want to tell Rose about my unfounded concerns. They were likely nothing after all. At precisely 7:20, we got back home, and I felt unexplainable relief as the front door locked behind us. Later that night, I was woken up by a rustling sound that came from outside. It was around 10:30 p.m. The wind was pretty heavy, and I blamed it on that. I settled back under my covers and heard movement. This time, I got up and checked my window, only to be met with a complete still ambiance. The leaves on the front tree didn't even rustle, and there was no apparent wind at all. At this point, my paranoia prevailed, and I headed downstairs to check if every door and window was locked. I felt better seeing everything bolted, so I went back to bed. As soon as I went upstairs, a loud bang sounded off, and I was horrified with the realization that a gunshot had come from directly outside the house. I ran to my bedroom window again and saw the neighbor standing out in the front yard. The old man pointed his gun upwards and shouted at nothing in particular. "You get down there right now, or the next one will be through your head." At first, I thought I was witnessing the hallucinatory effects of PTSD plaguing the poor man. My theory was quickly debunked when another loud thud followed, and a figure fell from the highest branch in the tree. A man stood up, his hands lifted in compliance with the old man and his shotgun. Our neighbor demanded the man lie on the ground, but instead, he took off running. Instincts likely kicked in, and the old man fired at him. I knew he was hit because an agonizing scream echoed down the road. Completely stunned, I watched as the old man pulled out his phone and presumed he was calling the cops. 10 minutes later, our street was filled with police cars. I checked on Rose and found her with earbuds blasting loud music into her ears. She didn't even hear a thing. When I explained everything to her, she was shaken up and near tears. The cops knocked on our door after arresting the injured man. They took my statement after it was discovered that this was the same man from Best Buy. He had followed us home, and worse yet, he only lived a few blocks away at an abandoned, dilapidated house. As I watched the cops haul the creep away with blood dripping from his feet, I felt immensely thankful for my on-point gut instincts. I knew something was off about him at first glance. Apparently, people in the neighborhood had been complaining about this man for some time, as they spotted him wandering around drunk or dragging heavy bags around with no explanation. His presence was an eerie nuisance. We're not sure what he was planning that night, but we were glad we didn't find out, all thanks to the old man next door we came to know as George. George often invited us over for barbecues. He even taught us how to fire a gun just in case we needed to protect ourselves in the future. He lived in the house for 6 more years, and we kept in touch even after I finished college. He passed away at age 71 due to lung cancer, and I will never forget him. He saved our lives.